I think you're at Genesis chapter 1. I think you're going to have to turn there. I don't think the verses are on there. I don't think we had enough room. We've been talking about the church for several weeks now, actually several months. We're going to finish up. We started with the first section was talking about the church, how it's run, purpose of the church, beliefs of the church, and then we talked about relationships in the church, getting along with one another and so forth. And then the last few, we've been talking really about why the church is needed today, particularly when it comes to truth. We need to combat what's going on in society. I don't know if you have the verses on your sheet, but let me read these to you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Genesis chapter 1, we'll read the first 7 verses. We're looking at the truth that's under attack, and really, it starts in Genesis. Some of the foundational common sense things that we ought to just believe, we ought to understand, we ought to know, and that years ago would not have been an issue, they're an issue now. And it's our society, it's changed, but we go with God's word. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to have a desire in our heart that what we believe to be true would be based on what you say is true, not what we feel is true and not what others say. If we would just stick to your word, Lord, and follow it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe seated. We looked at really why we need truth. We need a place that stands up and teaches what is right and defends the truth that is under attack today. By the way, if something is creeping into society and it is false, someone has to stand up and say, hey, that's false. It's junk and it's not right. There has to be a place. And we're so wishy-washy right now in our society. We don't want to ruffle the feathers. We don't want to, you know, cause trouble in the water. We just want to, everything is nice, and we're Christians, and we're nice, and we don't say anything, and people run over us like someone stepping on an ant, and that's not how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be rude. We're not supposed to be mean, but we're supposed to stand for the truth, okay? If something's wrong, someone's got, you know, that's wrong. It's what it is. Review, and we won't review long, but last time, we looked at two things that are under attack. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. Belief in God is under attack. People don't, you know, atheism, there is no God. And we talked about that. We talked about that much. By the way, someone told me, you know, they have how some Christian organizations have a prayer line, 1-800-NEED-PRAYER. And you call and they answer and you say, I need prayer. Do you know that atheists have a line now too? You dial 1-800, their number, the phone rings, nobody answers, of course. They're atheist. So belief in God. Number two, we looked at specific creation. In other words, if you're not going to believe there's a God, you have to come up with an explanation as to how we got here. We evolved. The whole ridiculous premise that once upon a time there was nothing, and nothing exploded, and from nothing came everything. Everything. That just makes sense. By the way, everybody lives by faith. Atheist lives by faith. Evolutionist lives by faith. I'd rather believe that if something is created, somebody created it. That just makes sense. So we won't look at that again. What else is under attack? Look at number three. God's word. God's word is under attack. If you look at the verses there, I think the verses are printed on your sheet. And God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, divided from the waters. and it happened. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together, blah, 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 and it was so. And God said, let the earth bring forth, blah, 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 and it was so. And God said, let the lights in the firmament, so forth and so on, days and years, it happened. Verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth every living, and it was so. Do you see there's a pattern there? By the way, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God said it, bang, it happened. Okay? That's not hard to believe. Now, it didn't just happen and out of chaos came order. That violates a principle of scientific thought. From chaos does not come order unless you believe in evolution. Okay? So they contradict themselves. But I believe what the Bible says. God created the world by his word. Psalm chapter 33, verse 8 and 9. Let all the world fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The two statements we see in the verses, and there's more of them throughout Genesis, and God said, and it was so. God said it based on the fact that God spoke it, it happened. God's word has powerful. Its power extends just from creation to transformation of our lives. You think about it. If the God of the world could speak something to existence, don't you think his word has enough power if we follow what it says to transform our lives? God is not weak, and his word is not weak. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why you can read scripture, you can hear someone preach a truth, and it gets in your mind, and it starts pricking at what's going on in your life, and it's like, wow, how does that happen? Because it's God's word. God's word can transform us. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 on your sheets. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He has everything he needs to do what God wants him to do. God's word gives us everything we need to accomplish everything God wants us to accomplish on this earth. The power is in his word. Say, well, what about the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God will use the truth of God to transform our lives. That's why our society fights it. See, God's word infringes on our own selfish self-will. We, generally speaking, as a human being, we want to do what we want to do. And when there's a sure word of truth that we're supposed to follow, we kind of rebel against that. We don't like that. We want to be able to do what we want to do. God's word will remind us what is wrong, and our society doesn't like that. It fights our selfishness. It stifles our sinful ambitions. That's why, listen, there's a reason they're not, in our society, particularly our country, they're not going after some of the other beliefs. Okay? They're going after Christians. They want Christians to be silent. Why? Because the other stuff doesn't have power. Okay? Power comes from God's word, and Christians follow God's word, and so they want us to shut up. Now we had a society that was founded on freedom of religion. Now we have groups that want freedom from religion. Okay, well, your religion offends me, therefore I have the right not to listen to it. That's not what it's talking about. Listen, if I'm walking down the street and I see a Mormon who I am 1,000% opposed to their beliefs, and I've studied it, I'm opposed to their beliefs. Listen, they can come talk to me. That didn't bother me. I'll talk right back to them very kindly, very nicely. We'll exchange thoughts. They have a right to believe what they want, and I have a right not to believe what they believe. But we have that right. But they're trying to shut us up. Because the truth hurts. That's what people are fighting. Now, God's word is also being attacked, not just by our society. It's being attacked by corruption. Notice the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. Even in the time Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and the New Testament is still being penned, even the time the Bible was still being penned, there were already people trying to corrupt it. And that has never changed. We, our church, we hold to the King James Bible. It's not, oh, it's old, archaic, and outdated. No, no, it's not. Okay? The issue isn't the language used in the Bible. The issue is where it's coming from. The other Bibles are coming from corrupt text. You can look at it. I remember many years ago as a new Christian, and I the first Bible I read was not a King James Bible. And I read through it, and I'm like, okay. And then I started studying it, and I started looking at the verses, and words were missing. Not just any words, key words. Verses were missing. Based on a couple of outdated manuscripts. Listen, the Bible's always been attacked. And if we have, I remember I was listening to a guy at work, I think he was a Moody graduate, a Moody Bible Institute graduate. We would listen we had our own little workstations. We could listen to whatever I want, and he brought me a tape on the Bible. And I'm listening to this tape, and he's in the Bible, and they're like, the Bible is mostly true. It's, and I forget the number, I think 90-something point something percent accurate, and I turned it off. So I'm not listening to that garbage. If it's not all true, maybe the most important part is the one that's wrong. Okay? But even the church, we're trying to corrupt God's word, and we're trying. Look, it's authoritative. We need to stick with it. That's why we hold to the King James Bible. But not only that, the truths of the Bible are being changed. We've talked a little bit, one of the lessons about how that is happening. It's something called the emergent church. And what they're doing is basically saying, you know, it used to be our stand was keeping society from coming to Christ. In other words, because we believe the truth of the Bible and some of the standards the Bible held to, that was turning people away from getting saved. And so they kind of backed off of the standards. We'll just believe the foundational truths, and the other stuff will kind of sit to the side, you know. And it will be doctrinally sound, but we'll be socially liberal. But now what they've done is they're coming back and saying, well, wait a minute. You know what's keeping people from coming to church and coming to Christ? It's doctrine. So let's back off of that. How can we help somebody if we're backing off of what is true? Doctrine is now open for debate. We are reinterpreting the truths of the scripture based on the trends and values of society in an effort to remain relevant. Now, that's not a word I dislike. I don't know if we still put on our tracks. We used to put it, relevant Bible preaching and teaching. Now, what we mean by that is the Bible is applicable to life today. That's what we mean when relevant. In other words, the Bible speaks to what we're going through today. You have financial trouble? Bible talks about finances. Relationship issues? The Bible talks about relationships. It's relevant to life. Some people think that's just some old antiquated book. No, it talks about all the things that we face on a daily basis. A depression. We talked about Sunday morning. We talked about worry. The Bible talks about all those things. That's what we mean. But they've switched that word to mean relevant is we're going to bring the Bible down to where society is. There's a big difference there. We can't change the scripture. We can't change what is there. Primarily, that is coming through what is called the emergent church. It's a new breed of Christianity. What is interesting about this church is that it's not a church per se, as it's a group of individuals. What's creeping into the church is that what it really does, it sanctifies culture. In other words, our culture is everything. We got to understand what's going on in our culture and what our culture is, our unsaved society and the non-biblical principles and philosophies and entertainment which they like. And we got to sanctify that and bring it into the church because that's where they're at. And if we're going to reach them, we got to come down to their level. Doesn't work. In other words, the culture and people we are trying to include in Christianity is our everything. Do you ever hear the little phrase, the inmates can't run the asylum? Okay? It's got to be the people in charge. Truth's got to run the church. We don't look out there and say, what are the people out, what are the unsaved people, what do they like? Let's do that. Okay, they like some, if it's some filthy, dirty movie with cuss on it, and that's what they like, well, let's bring that into the church. If they like a certain style of music, even though it may not be godly, let's bring that into the church. No, what do you bring into the church? Very simple, what God says. Amen. Listen, when I walked into a church as a 17-year-old, I was confronted right off the bat with the fact that my lifestyle, my culture, was completely different than what he was teaching from the Bible. I mean, that was just right upside the head. Like, I got it right away. It was not brain surgery. I'm glad. Because what that did to me is it caused me to say, hey, I'm doing something wrong. Here's what God says is best for me. Why don't I follow that? I'm glad they didn't just water it down. I'm glad they taught the Word of God. And I'm like, listen, that's where God's telling me to go to. I need to go. Amen. They didn't come in and say, where are you at? Oh, that's fine. We'll make the church about what you're doing. Listen, the church didn't want to be about what I was doing. That's what's going on. Culture is everything. As if it's legitimate. It says we're going to reach people. We've got to become like those people. By the way, you can't find that in the Bible. Yes, we care about people. Yes, we meet them where they're at. Yes, we're not mean. Yes, we're not pushy. Let the Spirit of God work in people's heart. But he can't work in their heart if we're not giving them truth to work with. So we have to believe the Scripture. I won't read this, but there's a guy named Brian McLaren. He's one of the ringleaders of the emergent church, married his son and his son's new husband. And he wrote a book called A New Kind of Christian. It's a story about a pastor's journey from a position of holding the Bible as absolute standard for truth, a position in which doctrine is either right or wrong, to a stance in which faith is more about a way of life than a system of belief, where being authentically good is more important than being doctrinally right. You see what they're saying there? See, that's why people use it, and if they want to use it, I don't like the term faith journey. It's not about the journey. It's about the truth. See? I want to follow truth. Say, oh, are you 100% perfect? No. Okay? Nobody is. But man, we got to strive for something. Let's strive for what God says as opposed to what we feel. Because I don't know about you, sometimes the things I feel aren't right. Okay? And so that's the problem. Before we leave this, there are three major problems in the modern church as it relates to Scripture. Number one, I mentioned it, it's our culture. We believe that our culture, the church is starting to believe that the culture dictates our belief and our practice. Now, by the way, let me say this. We are never trying to offend anybody. I'm not the kind of like get in your face, be offensive type individual. I don't like to offend people. I really don't. I think everybody should just like me, okay? And I know that doesn't happen, and I don't understand it. But let me say this, but I also want to be right. And sometimes you got to say something that's right at the point of someone maybe not understand. Now, we try to make it clear from Scripture, okay? And I tried to come to the conclusion a long time ago in my life, if it's in the Scripture, I don't have a choice on it. I'm just going to follow what God says. Culture. Theology. They believe our beliefs are not a fixed point. They're in transition. See, truth changes as people's experience changes. Now, truth is a fixed point. Okay? Listen, if you get a compass and it's working, it's always going to point north. It is. Well, I'll turn it this way. I'll turn it that way. It's still going to point north. Why? It's going to point. Scripture's always going to point to the truth. Okay? And so, theology. And then preaching. They believe preaching's outdated. See, why? People don't like things that are authoritative. Well, I hate to say it, the Bible is authoritative. And the reason we're in this mess is because we don't have authority. And that's just coming down to most households, that little two-year-old runs the house. They do. I'll be gentle, but we have a daycare in our house, and the kids run it, okay? And by the way, do you know something? Two-year-olds, now they're not perfect, and they're going to stick their hands in peanut butter and wipe it in their hair and do all that garbage. I get it. But, they will listen if you make them, okay? I love our grandkids, and I don't want to be your typical grandfather where they can do whatever they want. But it's like when they're around there, we do try to make they listen. They're good kids, even though their parents are just completely messed up. but we're so afraid, like, well, if we tell our kid what to do, they're going to grow up and hate us. No, they might grow up and love you. Okay? You know, it's like, because you're teaching them that, hey, there's a path to go down. And so that's that. Okay, here's one. This shouldn't even be on the list. And I've mentioned it, and maybe it's a pet peeve. And really, how in the world can anybody with a brain that can process 2 + 2 = 4 have an issue with this? Are you ready? Gender identity. Okay, seriously. Let me explain something. Is there anybody in here who's pregnant? Who's on the list that's pregnant? There you are. How you doing? I got news for you. You ready? You're going to have a baby, and you have one of two options, boy or girl. That is it. Do you know what it is yet? Hey, it's a boy. That's it. I've been there. We've had 7 of them. I saw when they were all born. And we have boys. The Rawls, that's all they have. They don't understand gender identity. They think everything's a boy. I promised her, if she had another child, I promised her she would have a girl. I told her that, what was the percentage, 3%? I said, you have a 3% chance of having a boy. You say, how do you know that? Okay, listen. What's the odds of having a boy? 50-50. What's the odds of having 2 boys in a row? 25. Every time you go in a row, it knocks down. The chance of having 3 boys is 12.5. The chance of having 4 boys is 6.25. The chance of having 5 boys is 3. I said, you got a 97% chance of having a girl, man. It's going to be great. That was the hardest hospital visit I ever made. I came in like, by the way, his birthday is soon, isn't it? Yeah, it was around Christmas, I remember, because you guys didn't give me a present that year. Okay, listen. Genesis 1:27, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God made he him. Here we go, you ready? Here's the options. Male and female created he them. Seriously. Well, I'm up this morning, and I feel like a girl. No, I'm not testifying, okay? What Joel told me. I'm just saying. Listen, you should go back to bed. We're so ridiculous. Really. You can ask my my granddaughter. She is 3. She was 2 at the time. She was at the mall in a little play place, and there was another girl there, and the little girl goes, I have a boy. It's like, my granddaughter's like, you're a girl. And they were going back and forth, and, no, I'm a boy. She said, you're a girl. And as they were leaving, the girl's like, I'm a boy. And before she was leaving, she just turned around and said, no, girl. She's 2 1/2. She figured it out. We have psychologists that can't get it. We have politicians that say, if you are a girl and you want to use a boy's bathroom, go for it. And if you're a guy and you want to use a girl's bathroom, go for it. That is retarded and dangerous. What was it, Macy's? Last Christmas or Christmas ago, told their employees, if a guy wants to go get dressed in the girls' dressing room, you can't stop him. Yes, you can. Yeah. It's not that difficult. Our society is so messed up. Really, it's that hard? By the way, be who you are. Yeah. Now, I don't want to be a girl. I don't. There is, not, girls are attractive, but there's nothing attractive to me about being one. I don't want to wear a dress. When I old-fashioned, I had to get new boots because the other ones I had were like almost high heels, and my calves hurt. I mean, after Sunday morning church, I couldn't wait to get home and take those stupid things off. I don't know how you ladies do it. God bless you. Maybe God gave you special calf muscles. I'm not doing it. We went and got a new pair, and that had low heels, and I'm feeling good about myself. Okay? And by the way, if you're a lady, enjoy being a lady. That's what God made you. Let's not get confused here. Yeah. Let's look at what, I mentioned this, but I got the story here. In Nebraska, I think it's in Lincoln, Nebraska, they're not allowed to call the children in the classroom boys or girls. Because that could create gender confusion. And it might be offensive to those who don't know what they are. By the way, in Germany, you can wait till they're three to declare what they are. Listen, it didn't take me that long. When we were in the birthing room and the baby came out, said, "That's a boy. That's a girl." They didn't have to wear pink. It's who they are. But anyhow, let me see. Here's what they told them. Don't use phrases in Lincoln, Nebraska. We're back to Nebraska now. Don't use phrases such as boys and girls, you guys, ladies and gentlemen, and similarly gender expressions to get kids' attention. That's the handout they're telling the teachers. The handout was part of an effort to educate teachers and administrators about transgender issues. Transgender, you're a boy or a girl, deal with it. The agenda we're promoting is to help all kids succeed. By the way, in our school, we want your children to succeed. And if they can't be taught what they are, I don't get it. What's next? 2 + 2 = 5? It's ridiculous. I don't even know where it's going. Oh, instead of asking boys and girls to line up as boys and girls, teachers have been encouraged to separate the children by whether they prefer skateboards or bikes, or whether they like milk or juice. Ask yourself, will this configuration create a gendered space? I hope so. By the way, you know what? Little boy, look, come on. Just think. We don't have a playground right now because of the parking lot, but once Christmas gift for Jesus comes, we're going to take care of that. Thank you. But listen, they play out here, and my coffee gets cold because I get busy and I forget that I have it, so I come out here and the boys play and the girls play. Can I just tell you something? They play completely differently. Completely differently. Oh, the boys have too much aggression. Boys should have aggression. They shouldn't be passive. But the girls, they're doing nurturing things. That's good. Look, when a boy sees a doll, he's like, I wonder how many pieces I can break this into. The head comes off, arms come off, legs come off. And that's good. Now, when my girls would come, they'll come when they were little, and Emily's kind of getting past the stage, she'll come and say, you know, Daddy, the leg fell off Barbie. I'm like, all right, surgery, here we go. Well, get your hands up, you know, wash your hands, put it down. All right, scalpel. And I'd snap the leg back on. Surgery successful. Barbie's been fixed. Now, if the boys, hey, the leg came off. I'm like, good. See if the other one will come off. Do you understand we're different? It's okay. It's okay. It's not saying one's better than the other. It's just saying God made us who we are. Let's be who we are. We're going to be fulfilled. Listen, I am not going to be fulfilled walking around in a dress. Okay? I have high heel issues. And I don't want to put nylons on. I don't. Although in the summer, a dress might be cooler. I'm almost done. It does suggest teachers create classroom names and then ask all of the purple penguins to meet at the rug. You're not a boy or a girl. You're a purple penguin. No, you're not. All right, I'm done with that. Number 5. I hope we understand that. We're. Number 5. What else is under attack? Absolute truth. Absolute truth. Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I mean, that's pretty point blank, right? There is, just like the gender, there's no confusion. He made a male and female. Here we go. Here's a tree. You can eat anywhere you want. Don't touch that one. There's nothing wrong with that. If there's no truth, then what are we hanging our hats on? Who's to say if Oscar thinks that he feels certain people aren't fit to live, that's the truth he decides to live for. There's no absolute truth. I'm infringing upon his truth. No. There's absolute truth. God said, thou shalt not kill. I don't like God's truth because it infringes upon what I do. Do you know what infringes upon what I do too? Are you with me? That's okay. It's good for us. We need rules, okay? We need guidance. Tolerance is not the right. Tolerance is the everybody having the right to believe whatever they want, okay? You do. but tolerance is not, I have the right to make you believe that what I believe is true is equally as valid as what you say is true. That's not tolerance. Tolerance doesn't mean I have to believe what you believe is true. You can't force it on me. There's absolute truth in the Bible. We gotta have absolute truth. By the way, the fact that our society fights is why we're in a mess. We can't, listen, can I, and I'm not going back to the gender thing, it's just an example. When our governor signed that into law, that the kids can use whatever bathroom they want, are you telling me, there's not one elected official that stands up and says, that's ridiculous. I guarantee you they are, but they're afraid to stand up and say anything. How many of you want us to open the bathrooms? No. But you know what the problem is? We're afraid to say something because we don't want to infringe upon what someone else believes. Listen, God says something. It's true. I don't have an option. I do have. I have an option. To believe it and obey it, or ignore it and defy it. And I'll suffer the consequences. Maybe that's why all of the rates in our country, crime, teen pregnancy, all of you name it, they're all skyrocketing. Poverty, because people are having kids and not married and all that's, and just like, you know, in high school, we're afraid to say, listen, the best form of birth control, the best form of not getting some disease is to wait till you're married. What? We're afraid to tell high schoolers that because we're preaching to them. We're infringing upon their rights. Maybe we're trying to help them to get through school. See, they talk a lot about helping them get through school. But anyhow, when it comes to absolute truth, let me give you several things. We're running out of time here. everybody needs rules to live by. By the way, you say, well, but people violate rules. How many of you have ever violated God's law? I have. Good night, okay? That doesn't mean we shouldn't have them. It means I need to realize I disobeyed God. Man, I've disobeyed God. And I got, you know what? I got to get that right. So we're afraid to say something because it could hurt somebody. It's not. We all need rules. And just because people choose not to obey the rules doesn't mean we should ditch the rules. Now, when I say rules, we're talking about God's laws, okay? Well, society's not listening. I know, but God's laws are still true. We have to strive. You know, some of us, we grew up and we've done things, and some of you maybe come from rougher backgrounds and you've done things and now you're a Christian, you're going forward. Hey, go forward from here. The past is the past. It's over with, man. Let's go forward. We understand God's laws now. Let's put them into practice in our life and let's go forward from here and it'll all be good. B, there is a definite right or wrong. Okay, there is. I don't feel that way. And that's fine. You have the right to believe that, but God believes otherwise. Letter C, God's laws overrule all others. Now look, there are certain laws that come into our society that we don't like. By the way, one of the best ones I like is when they changed the speed limit to 65. That was good. Okay, that was like, yes, I am so sick of going 55. Good. Well, okay, maybe sometimes I didn't go 55, but I won't get pulled over this time. Okay, but you know what? You drive in Oregon, they didn't get the memo. They did not get the memo that you can raise the speed limit. I don't know what they're doing up there. Well, I know what they're doing. They're growing pot and doing all kinds of stuff. But I drive in Oregon, I'm like, I wish I could go faster than the freeway. There's nobody within 100 miles, and they have these low laws. But can I just tell you something? Yeah, it's a law. I gotta follow it to the best of my ability. Okay, and this doesn't bother me. They choose to have low speed limits, but now if they're telling me what to believe about what the Bible says, they cross the line. They're going to come in here and tell us we have to have transgender bathrooms. We ain't doing it. And they won't, but I'm just saying, if they come and start, like in Houston, hey, pastors, you need to turn in all of your messages. We're going to see what you've been saying. I'll tell them right here, as kindly as I can, drop dead. You will get nothing. It is none of your business. Okay? You're not going to tell us how to pray. Look, Daniel, if you pray to any other god but the leader here, you're going in the lion's den. Daniel dropped 3 times a day and prayed. He probably was only doing 2 times a day and said, you know what? I'm going to show him I'm doing 3 times a day. OK, Okay, you want to tell me how fast to drive my car, or I got to register my car, which is extortion, that's fine. I'll register my car. I have no problem with that. But listen, if you're going to tell me what to believe about the Bible, you cross the line. God's laws oversee to everybody else's. D, God is the ultimate lawgiver. Ultimate. Next, we have a choice to make in these matters. We have a choice to make. It's called free will. Okay, but let me say this. I have a choice to make when I'm driving. Obey the speed limit or not. Several years ago, it was a not. I was going to Monterey Park, and I was a little bit behind schedule. Finished my Sunday school class here, trying to get to my Sunday school class there, and then Mr. CHP didn't like the speed I had, and he pulled me over. Say, were you upset? No, I was guilty. You were speeding. I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I was in a hurry, and I wasn't. You're right. You got me. Give me a ticket. I didn't say that. I was nice. Yes, sir. No, sir. You're right. I'm wrong. He still gave me a ticket. That's fine. That's my fault. I had a choice to make, and I chose to disobey the law, and I chose to pay the ticket. Okay. and then letter F. Our choices do have consequences. I'm not going to believe God's law. I don't believe there's absolute truth. I'm doing whatever I want. Guess what? You're going to pay. That's just the way it is. All right, we got to end there. It's 8 o'clock. Let's pray.